going to be bringing the message this morning. So we welcome you, Peter, and indeed we welcome any guests that we have with us as well. So it's good to see us all together, joining together to worship and to praise our Lord and Saviour. And as you see, the theme for the service this morning, I think, is, I hope I've got this right, Christ the King. It's the last Sunday of the lectionary year is always Christ the King. So next Sunday is Advent Sunday, and we've got Karen here with us at Bethesda. Who's at Bethlehem? Everybody! Everybody at Bethlehem, so that's good. So as we start the new lectionary year, it'll be year B, for those of you who are, sort of lectionary-minded, we start the new lectionary year because, more importantly, we start to think about welcoming Jesus into the world. I don't know if there are any other notes. Is there anything from Bethlehem? Yes? Well, Gwen, sorry. Right, did you hear that? So Grace Trust box, Christmassy items, please. Yep, anything else? Nothing else, I don't think. Right, okay. Have we got any birthdays to celebrate? No, we did that last week. But thank you for the thought. And for remembering. It's important people remember these things. Any others? No other birthdays. So, with that warmth of welcome, I hand over to Jo.
Has anybody felt a bit battered by the winds this week? Yes. It's been a bit stormy, hasn't it? A bit windy. And amazing that we can come into this lovely, warm, safe space to come and to worship God together. So whether you've been battered by the weather or battered by the storms of life that just creep up on us, don't they, and maybe shift us a little bit. So let's remain seated as we focus our thoughts and our hearts on Jesus this morning. Let's remain seated and let this be our call to worship. Let's sing those words again. Together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come here this morning to quieten our hearts and our minds, that we can remember all your goodness to us. We come all from different circumstances, different family units, single, many people, chaos, calm. Yet your Holy Spirit is with us this morning. You are surrounding us as we come before you to invest ourselves in you once again, Lord, this morning. And to remember you, to remember the cross, to remember Jesus and all that he has done for us. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity and for the joy of coming together to worship you. Amen. So shall we stand together as we celebrate all that Christ has done for us.
Good morning, friends. It's wonderful to affirm Christ the King, that Christ is my King, and you can say that today. Christ is my King on this Christ the King Sunday. It's 100 years this year that Christ the King Sunday has been in place. 1925 it started. And when the world at that time was in great turmoil, in a world war on the horizon, the Catholic Church, the Pope, instigated this Sunday for all Christians everywhere, for the Church Universal, to affirm that in all the turmoil and the chaos and rulers seeking power, Christ is King. And amen that we can say that today in the state of our world, that we can say Christ is King. And may we know that today. And the very first slide that Jan had on the screen, the picture of the two crowns, or maybe we could see that again, because that will really affirm what we're speaking about today. Those two crowns integrated just tell you the message of Christ the King better than any sermon. That's not to say I'm not going to give a sermon, I'm affirmed. I'd much rather have a picture to look at, but, you know, both of those are essential, aren't they, as we'll discover. Because if you only have the crown of thorns, then you have Christ as the victim. You know, so that, well, at the cross, that's what becomes of, you know, someone who stands up for what's right. If you only have the crown, then you only have somebody who's set apart from human pain. But because Jesus wore the crown of thorns and the crown of glory, it means we have strong hope that Jesus is with us in the thorns of life, in the suffering. It's not pointless or meaningless or endless, but it will follow with the crown of glory as well. We follow where Christ has led. So if you don't take home anything today, then remember the two pictures, the thorns and the crown of glory, and the great promise that they bring to us. So let's pray together, and we continue in worship. Yes, Lord Jesus, we affirm you as King, King of kings and Lord of lords, King of all creation, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. We worship you. When the universe began, spiraling outward, the newborn stars reflected your glory. When you walked along the shores of Galilee and healed broken hearts, touched lepers, forgave tax collectors and sinners, your kingdom came near, came among us. When you were betrayed, mocked, beaten, crucified, you revealed the kingdom of a servant king. A kingdom not of this world. And when beyond all our imagining there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, and suffering and tears and death shall be no more, all people will see, all people will know that you are the everlasting King. And Lord, we just pray today that you will be crowned and enthroned in our lives, in our world once again. And in the quietness, let us just reflect on those times when we have unseated Christ from the throne of our lives, from our will, and we have gone our own way. And confess our sins to our merciful and loving Lord. Lord, we're sorry for those times when we've not followed Jesus' example of love and service. Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray. Take your place. Be the name above all names. Lord of lords, our all in all. Fill us with your forgiveness and set us free, we pray. And Lord, we recall this prayer on this Sunday before Advent. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that they, bringing forth the fruit of good works, may by you be richly rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we hear our gospel reading, which portrays the events of Good Friday, a very different kind of king, whose throne was a cross, whose crown was thorns. We listen to Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 33.
Luke chapter 23, verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Pauline. And our epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians. As we'll hear, there's a word of encouragement, and there is also a need for Paul in these words to correct some false teachings that were creeping in to the church at that time, that there were somehow some undisclosed mysteries that only a few people could tune into and learn about Christ. And Paul was saying, no, Christ, our Lord, told you when he was here living among us all about himself. And here in this letter, he places Christ above all. So we listen to Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 to 20, and then Joe and Richard will lead us in our next song.
The letter from Paul to the Colossians. He says, "May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So shall we stand together as we lift up the name on high of Jesus our King.
Come, Holy Spirit, to us. Make Christ dearer, heaven nearer, and the word of God clearer. Amen. The text for my sermon this morning is Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul says of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I want us to consider each of those statements in turn, to think of what it meant for Paul and the early church, and what it means for you and me today. Firstly, he is before all things. Before all things. Well, this speaks of Christ's pre-existence. He existed before all things were created. And he is before all things. He is preeminent. He takes first place. Let's take those two thoughts in turn. Pre-existence. One of our church creeds says, Christ is the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. Words of the 4th century Nicene Creed. So from the beginning to the end of history, all worlds, all creatures, all peoples, all dominions and authorities, all creation has its orientation and centre in the person of the living Lord Jesus Christ. He is before all things. It is a mystery, but it's not mythology. He is beyond comparison, but not beyond our reach. For he humbled himself and became human. And we will be celebrating and considering that during the Advent season, the incarnation. His life was a contradiction, a paradox, as one writer put it like this. He came from the bosom of the Father to the bosom of a woman. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He became a son of man that we might become sons and daughters of God. He was born contrary to the laws of nature, lived in poverty, was reared in obscurity, and only once crossed the boundary of the land in childhood. He had no wealth or influence, and had neither training nor education in the world's schools. His relatives were inconspicuous and uninfluential. In infancy, he startled a king. In boyhood, he puzzled the learned doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the waves and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book, but countless books have been written about him. He never wrote a song, but countless songs have been written to his praise. He never founded a college, yet all the schools together cannot boast of as many students as he has. He never practiced medicine, and yet he healed more broken hearts than the doctors have healed broken bodies. He is the star of astronomy, the rock of geology, the lion and the lamb of zoology, the peacemaker of all discord, and the healer of all diseases. Great men and women have come and gone, yet he lives on. Herod could not kill him, Satan could not seduce him, death could not destroy him, the grave could not hold him. He is the ever-perfect one. His love has lasted longest. He is altogether lovely. Amen to that. Wonderful words. Yes, we can say he is before all things. He pre-existed. And he is continually before all things to this very day. He is preeminent. And Paul needed to write these words to the early church to recognize that Jesus was above all. Don't worship angels. They're messengers of God. That was creeping in. Don't worship angels. Worship Jesus. He is above all. There are times when cultural influences dilute the gospel of salvation. Worship of angels, secret knowledge, empty rituals, diluting the simple truth, Jesus is enough. Jesus is supreme. Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth, I resolved to know nothing among you while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So here was a plea. Put your hope in Christ alone, as we began with our worship. In Christ alone our hope is found, not in Christ plus. And here is a plea for them to live a life worthy of the name Christian. And we are challenged. Can you and I say today, he is before all things in my life? And what difference does that make? It was a radical thing to say for Paul. He is before all things. When in Paul's day it was the Emperor Caesar who claimed the utmost loyalty, who thought he was supreme and before all things. But Paul stood up, and at great personal cost, for he wrote these words in prison, for proclaiming Jesus and not Caesar as Lord. He was suffering for the gospel and for the church. And how that early church suffered as well. At the Nicene Council, who formed that Nicene Creed that we heard me read earlier, I believe that of the 318 delegates that attended that council, fewer than 12 had not lost an eye, or lost a hand, or did not limp on a leg because they were tortured for their Christian faith. They suffered for the gospel, for truth, defeating heresy. We probably won't be asked to pay that cost. But we too, as the church of today, are to stand up for Christ and his kingdom and his authority. You can choose from 30 different flavours of ice cream, but you can't choose 30 different doctrines when it comes to Christ. He is supreme. He is preeminent. He is before all things. And secondly and finally, just 2 points, not three today. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together in him. He's got the whole world in his hands. He holds the whole universe together. All things continue because of him. It's mind-blowing. But it's good news for the world today, for us. Though humankind spoils and pollutes and damages creation, the great I Am holds it, upholds it. It's a good news for us today in a world where the tectonic plates of politics are shifting, national identity in motion, to say in him all things hold together. And it's wonderful news for each one of us and the things that we're going through. Yes, he is exalted, but he is down here right in the midst of life, in our trials, in your sufferings, holding you together this Sunday. He is your rock, your center, your peace, your joy. The things that are over your heads are under his feet, under his rule today. And without him, our lives would unravel and fall apart. We would be sinking sand. But we are held in love. And it's his love which is the cement that holds us together. And because of his great love that endures forever, we can endure. We can go on and continue in our faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. So I pray today, whatever you're going through, may you be able to say, he's holding it together for me. I might not hold it together, but he's holding it together. He's still working out his purposes in my life, in your life. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is within. So I close in summary. He is before all things. He claims first place. May he be before all things in our life. In him, all things hold together. Creation and our lives are in his care. So remember this verse. It's simple enough to remember. Repeat it to yourself in this week ahead. Tell it to your troubles. Tell it to your heart. Tell it to your neighbor. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Thanks be to God. Amen. A moment of quiet prayer as we reflect on that word and make it our own. And as we sing, let us just lay it all before him now. And just remember that he has taken our rags of unrighteousness, rags of sin. and like the prodigal son has clothed us with royal robes. And may we say of him, King of Kings, Majesty. Let's worship together.
Shall we stand to
let's come before the Lord in a time of prayer for the church, the nations, and for those on our hearts today. Lord, we come before your throne of grace to pray for your world that you love, lifting to you the nations and leaders of the world. Lord, where many are self-seeking, claiming power, grabbing land, building kingdoms of dust. Lord, we pray that you would come and turn hearts to you, hearts of leaders, towards the way of servant leadership. Lord, we pray for places in the world where there is conflict. Middle East, Russia, Ukraine. In Eastern Africa. Lord, victims of violence. Lord, have mercy, we pray. Lord, I recall the words of that hymn, crown him with many crowns, that from pole to pole, North Pole to South Pole, wars may cease, absorbed in prayer and praise. And that's our prayer today, Lord. And Lord, we pray for your church across the world. Lord, at this time of Advent preparation coming upon us and the Christmas festival, Lord, many more opportunities to reach out and to proclaim Jesus. And we pray that you will help every one of our churches to seize the opportunities to present the gospel and the true meaning of Christmas, of Christ the King come to earth. And Lord, we lift up to you friends and loved ones in need today, the needs of our two congregations. And Lord, we just give you this space now, and either quietly or aloud, we lift up their names to you and we pray for them. The dying thief said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he was heard. And Lord, we thank you that you do remember us, that you remember our loved ones, and that you hear all of these prayers, which we ask in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Saviour. Amen. And we join in saying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining in our time of intercession today. Spoken or unspoken, the Lord hears our prayers. And we're now going to dedicate our offerings to the Lord as we come to his table.
Transformation by your grace and your love. We dedicate these gifts to you and those given by standing order. And Lord, with ourselves, we dedicate these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
At the Lord's table will be on the screen.
Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We praise you, gracious Father, our Maker and Sustainer. You created the heavens and the earth and formed us in your own image. Though we sinned against you, your love for us was constant, and you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of the world. Sharing our human nature, he was born of Mary and baptized in the Jordan. He proclaimed your kingdom by word and deed and was put to death upon the cross. You raised him from the dead. You exalted him in glory, and through him you have sent your Holy Spirit, calling us to be your people, a community of faith. And so, with angels and archangels and all the choirs of heaven, we join in the triumphant hymn:
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of high and mighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy God, we praise you that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Saviour Christ took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, and proclaiming his eternal sacrifice, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving, as we declare the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Send down your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him forever, and bring us with the whole creation to your eternal kingdom.
Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we worship you in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever.
Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread.
Jesus, Lamb of God,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, bearer of our sins,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, Redeemer of the world,
grant us peace.
We say together,
Lord, we come to your table, trusting in your mercy, and not in any goodness of our own. We are not worthy to be gathered at our triumphs under your table. But it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So feed us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, that we may forever live in him, and heal us. Amen.
All are welcome to receive bread and wine in a continuous flow, or if you prefer, it's more comfortable to receive in your seat. We will bring the bread and wine to you afterwards. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me shall not hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst. Draw near with faith. All things are good. After communion, together let us pray.
We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen.
Have remembered Christ's death. Now we prepare for our Advent journey and the celebration of his birth. So we sing the Servant King. We go to follow Jesus, our Servant King, to follow him into this new week, knowing that he will go before us and he will be with us every step. So go, robed in the glory of Christ, with the crown of self-giving upon your heads, and show the majesty of his love within your lives. Amen.
Amen.
Go with his blessing, as we say the grace together.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit,
be with us all evermore. Amen.
Go in peace in the power of the Spirit to live and work to God's praise and glory.
Thanks be to God. Amen.